Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stefo Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio.
And y'all, we are back round to our series, which has been really stretched out. I have done a really great job in really pulling this string very far. And we are talking about Western Christianity and how it affects the marginalized community. And today we are tackling the very controversial topic of homosexuality and religion. And as per usual, there's way too much stuff. So therefore, this is going to be a two-parter. So not only is it like episode, I think, seven or eight, but yep. It's two-parters to that. So OMG, Annie, OMG. And if you're not from the U.S. or in the U.S., you might not know the level of controversy we are at, but I feel like the whole world is experiencing this. But I think the best way to describe this is that the extremists have created a boogeyman, which they've done so for like decades now, so they can gain power. And unfortunately, the queer community has become the victim of this at this point anyway, because between this and, you know, the Black community and CRT and anti-racist rhetoric, those two are the big boogeymans right now. And as a reminder, much like most attempts by extremist group, this isn't about just one marginalized group, but is an overall attempt in a complete power grab by oppressing all the marginalized groups slowly but surely. So when we talk about how, don't think it's just happening to one person or one group of people, this is the trickle-down effect. That is a true trickle-down effect.
Mm-hmm.
If we should say it that way. We're going to go ahead and let you know that this is going to be heated and triggering. And most of you will probably say it's biased, because we are looking at this as looking at a group of people who are extremists. And for the most part, the minority, and again, we're going to talk about that as well a little bit later, because we find it absolutely intolerable, as it should be, and that we do feel like this is hateful. It is hateful, point blank. Again, this is going to have a lot of hate speech content. So if we're quoting from the organizations or talking about the organizations, please know that's not our stance. This is what they are leaning against as to what they say they believe. There's also a lot of fear-mongering, of course, a lot of white supremacy tactics, as well as white supremacy overall. Like, that's the point of this, honestly. And it's going to be all throughout this topic for this episode, as well as the part two. I'm sure we'll do another warning.
Yep.
There is going to be mentions of rape and sexual abuse and assault, because, you know, the boogeyman has to have monsters and demons, and that's part of that. So the big start. So sorry. Here we go. So here's the history of Christianity and beliefs on homosexuality. Christianity has a long history of change, as we can see from the many types of denominations and splits within the same denominations and wars that happened because of that, just as a reminder. But there's also groups like Baptists and Presbyterians and Methodists and so many more. So it's not surprising to see that the beliefs on homosexuality and the queer community differs throughout. You have specific groups that believe that homosexuality isn't an issue and is inviting and inclusive. I went to one church, was lovely. They had a whole series based on Broadway shows. That sounds stereotypical, I know, but it was actually lovely. You have those who often say the statement, quote, love the sinner, hate the sin type of thing. So may take a less violent approach on their disagreement with homosexuality, but it's still disagreements. And then you have those who may show up to protest and be the executor of judgment as they believe they have been ordained to fight against homosexuality by whatever means possible, including violence, fear-mongering, and all those different tactics.
And with these different levels of beliefs, it's no surprise to see that there is divisiveness and argument among so many. Some would argue that Christians aren't necessarily arguing against homosexuality, but against sex itself. Many of the early research on biblical teachings refer to many of the early theologists' fear of sex altogether. Here's a quote from the American Journal of Sociology. Christian hostility to homosexuality was not directed against that alone, but toward all forms of sexual activity. Although the New Testament did not look favorably on sexual expression, the leaders of the early church gave sex much greater attention and rejected it far more passionately and completely. Virtually all the church fathers, Gregory of Nazianzus, Gregory of Nyssa, John Chrysostom, Ambrose, Augustine, Jerome, praised virginity and looked on sex with horror.
Right. And with that, they talked about the level of like the creation of the popes, the fathers, and then the nuns, and why they valued that and how they did this. Mm-hmm. So early American historian John Eastburn Boswell, who is well known for his studies on issues of religion and homosexuality, he was, I believe, a gay man who died in his mid-40s due to the AIDS epidemic. He has been one of the leaders in this conversation for a long while, and there's a lot of controversy about this, specifically talking about Christianity, and yeah, like I said, very controversial, spoke of his own findings of this idea of Christians' disdain and fear of sex altogether. He wrote, there was indeed on the part of many early Christians a feeling of hostility toward any form of sexuality which was not potentially procreative. This cannot, however, be shown to stem from Christian principles. Among other things, there is not a word within the Old Testament or the New about the non-procreative sexuality among married persons, and indeed, most Jewish commentators have agreed that anything was licit between husband and wife. It is a well-established principle in several social science disciplines that there is, however, a class-related prejudice against non-procreative sexual acts, and one would expect to find this among lower-class Christians as among any lower-class group of the society. Among theologians, explicit rejection of all non-procreative sexuality does not relate directly to attitudes towards gay people. The theologians of the early church were attempting to impress on all Christians that they had to see every act of heterosexual intercourse as the potential creation of a child. No effective means of birth control was known in this world except for abstinence, not even the rhythm method. The only way to avoid having children was to kill or abandon them. Theologians, therefore, wished to persuade Christian parents that they had to be responsible for the creation of a child every time they had sexual pleasure. The only other alternatives in their world, the world in which the early theology of the church was formulated, were morally unacceptable. Now, the original aim of the approach, it appears, was only to protect children. It was not to attack homosexuality. Indeed, it was a very long time before this notion spilled over into homosexuality, but it eventually did.
And there has been lots of debate with Boswell's words and research. Many have countered Boswell's theories, and they still do to this day, as Boswell's work has become widespread. Surprisingly, the actual word homosexuality appears for the first time in 1946 in a version of the Bible. And not surprisingly, the different versions of the Bible are not consistent and can be inconsistent. And this could be partly due to the types of translations, Latin versus Greek versus Hebrew and so on. And then we have the King James Version, probably the most inaccurate of the versions and other translations since then. And let's not forget the Apocrypha that is not used by Protestants and often spoke of as blasphemous by many of the Protestants, or even the Dead Sea Scrolls, which many still do not refer to in a biblical context. The spread of the idea that homosexuality as a sin can be found as a part of the Catholic belief of natural law, which is now held by other groups such as the Orthodox Church and some Protestant denominations, including the Southern Baptist Convention and some United Methodist churches.
Again, many believers that hold to the idea of queerness as a moral failing teach that homosexuality is a sin that can be resisted with the help of Jesus, which is where the harmful usage of conversion camps come in, which we'll talk about in the next episode. And of course, the tactics of trying to convert homosexuals have not followed the tactics of loving the man, but again, threatening them with the scare tactic of eternal damnation and humiliation.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Did you ever experience the campus preachers that would just go around screaming about how you were going to hell?
Yeah.
Especially those, like, it was specifically to, like, all sex, much like what we just talked about before, because mm-hmm. we know that that's kind of the pinnacle point for purity culture, all of that. But, like, we had them talking about gay people, and we know Westboro Church, that's their favorite thing to do, is to go to funerals of the queer community and then tell them they're all burning in hell or hoping that they're going to be in hell.
Yeah.
Which is lovely in itself. Sarcasm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, there's so much to that.
Yeah. And there's a famous, there's a famous example to me because at Dragon Con every year, there is a group
right.
that comes, specifically one man, but it's a whole group. And they are spouting this kind of stuff. And they have like a bullhorn and they're saying, yeah, like queer people are going to hell. But it's been very heartwarming in some sense because now we all know who it is, and we all go and, like, protest against him, and there's a lot more of us and a lot more
Yes.
of
you know, that typically is how it goes. The people who come to protest or do these things are outdone by those who are in that community doing whatever they're doing, because they're there to celebrate. So, of course, people are coming to celebrate and love their own community, and then you have three or four people who come to hate, and so they're going to be outnumbered.
Yeah, and people
that is
like
the nice part.
Made costumes about it. Like, it's very, like, signs. It's very
I
Dragon
love the signs.
Con. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I love the signs. It's like, this dude's gay, or, you know, like, not that that's a derogatory, but, like, you know, the level of, like, this dude is, he's closeted. We know what's happening type of level.
Yes, yes. A lot of trolling happens to that group, but they continue to come. I'm sure they'll be here this year, too. Now, there are many denominations who have turned away from the idea of homosexuality as a sin. According to a very thorough Wikipedia page about the history of Christianity and homosexuality, they say, quote, "A minority interpret biblical passages differently and argue that homosexuality can be seen as morally acceptable. This approach has been taken by a number of denominations in North America, notably the United Church of Canada, the United Church of Christ, the Moravian Church, the Anglican Episcopal Church, the Anglican Church of Canada, the Liberal Catholic Church, Friends General Conference, the Presbyterian Church, USA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada. Relatively many denominations have taken this approach in Europe, including United, Reformed, and Lutheran churches. The Evangelical Church in Germany, Church of Sweden, Church of Norway, Church of Denmark, Protestant Church of the Netherlands, Church of Iceland, United Protestant Church in Belgium, United Protestant Church of France, Federation of Swiss Protestant Churches, Methodist Church of Great Britain, and the Church of Scotland." And I will say, my mom, Presbyterian Church, they are very LGBTQ friendly. It's been interesting hearing her talk about it, because she's very open-minded, but she's still kind of like getting used to the terms. So it's been fun.
Right.
I would say fun. Like, because she is, and she wants to get it right, and she'll ask me about it and talk about it. It's really cute.
Oh, that's lovely. I love that that's the good experience.
Yeah.
That's exactly one of the reasons we wanted to point this out, even though it came from a Wikipedia page. It was very thorough if you want to go look at it. But because they do name off some of these churches, and I think it's, we want to give credit, even though it's the like the bare minimum, mm-hmm. but still it's something to celebrate, to know that people who, and I do have many gay and queer Christian friends who go to church, And I think that needs to be celebrated too, because they have a strong belief and they should be allowed to also practice those beliefs and knowing that these churches exist, which I find it not funny about right on point that you see like Church of Sweden, Church of Norway, and then we don't have a Church of the U.S. We did. That'd be super scary, probably.
Probably. It probably would. And I'll also say, as you already mentioned, but just to reinforce the point, even within denominations, people fight because
right. That's
one of the things my mom is dealing with in the Presbyterian denomination is there is a group and some of her family is involved that think they're too liberal an hour.
Right.
So it's,
they're going to split soon. So that's how the splits happen. I've seen that happen so many times with my churches. Like they just leave and they start their own church. And I'm like, what just happened?
Right. Yeah. So, you know, like, yes, call it out. It's good. But also not. Still fighting.
It's still a thing.
Yeah.
But of course, this all has now spilled out of the churches and into politics and policies. And we know this. With bills like the Florida's Don't Say Gay bills and the anti-trans bills all over the country, the politicians have made it clear that homosexuality has become a battleground for them. One report shows that as of June of this year, 2023, there have been at least 530 anti-LGBTQ-focused legislations. And yeah, there's a war against the queer community. And with that, at least 68 have passed and 122 have failed. And the rest are just either in limbo or still being discussed. Interestingly, as a side note, there is now a new AP article that just came out saying that the majority of Americans believe that the politicians are not working for the interest of the actual population or what they feel is a representation of what they want. And I think we talked about this previously anyway, about the fact that, again, it's not the majority who is wanting this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we often include... this is just pretty much the loud minority that we talked about, which often includes those with the most power or the most money, usually both. And they seem to be controlling the narrative and the policies being introduced or seen as important. So it is very all like at the surface where you go to and who you talk to, because when we talk to people directly, it doesn't feel like that's anybody's feelings or that they just the same way with the abortion issue.
Right. But we've also, as we discussed, we've seen kind of a backtracking because it has become such a big...
Right. They have become so loud.
Right. And that's from people who are probably already kind of not supportive anyway.
Right.
But we're like, I'll be quiet about it. I don't care about it. But now it's become this issue.
Right. Again, for the last decade, more and more people were accepting of the queer community. Like you said, we've given, as we talked about, personal examples about how our own families went from they just want to exist to why are they pushing this in our faces? And then also that they're turning our kids gay.
Yep.
Literally a thing said by my family. Not to me, though, because I think they know that I would fight them. Or make fun of them.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I don't know how to react to that other than to laugh and be like, what? Because it's so ridiculous to me. But they have the audacity to say it to some of the family members who think more like myself, but have always been quieter or newer to this way of thinking.
Right.
And so they don't think that they, I don't know if they're trying to save them. And I put that in quotes, of course, or what. But yeah, it's very interesting to see them do that, because at once upon a time, they could give me examples of where, like, this seems like this is they were born like this. I can see this too. Well, why are they doing this? They're making it so loud. They're trying to get everybody else gay.
It's in the water.
It's in the water.
That's the new.
Is that the? That was in the air particles.
I heard it. I heard that in high school that it was in the water. But recently, a politician made a lot of headlines because he said that.
There's no. I feel like they just reached to the same old things. There's nothing new anymore. Be creative.
It's true.
Come on.
If you're gonna
it's Tesla. It's the Teslas. Can we say that? They're new, right?
It's Elon Musk.
No,
who is conservative.
Oh my God.
But it's his fault.
Right, yes.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring.
With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
And the Pope, as in fact, just this year, came out against all the anti-gay legislation himself.
Yes, here's a quote from The Guardian. Pope Francis has criticized laws that criminalize homosexuality as unjust, saying God loves all his children just as they are, and calling on Catholic bishops who support the laws to welcome LGBTQ plus people to the church. Being homosexual isn't a crime, Francis said on Tuesday in an interview. Francis acknowledged that Catholic bishops in some parts of the world support laws that criminalize homosexuality or discriminate against LGBTQ plus people, and he himself referred to the issue in terms of sin. But he attributed such attitudes to cultural backgrounds and said bishops in particular need to undergo a process of change to recognize the dignity of everyone. And that same article continues, declaring such laws unjust. Francis said the Catholic Church can and should work to put an end to them. It must do this. It must do this, he said. Francis quoted the Catholic Catechism in saying gay people must be welcomed and respected and should not be marginalized or discriminated against. We are all children of God, and God loves us as we are and for the strength that each of us fights for our dignity, Francis said. But of course, this is not to say the Pope changed the Catholic beliefs that homosexuality is a sin, but rather that to even him, these laws are cruel and also a sin, saying it's a sin to lack charity with one another.
Right. So, you know, kind of good. What a good.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, it could be worse. It's a step.
Right.
Yeah.
But, okay. Okay. But that doesn't seem to make any difference when it comes to politics. As we said before, it's not the majority looking to criminalize and discriminate against the queer community, but small, powerful groups. So let's talk about a few of them. Unsurprisingly, the majority of these who are the head of these movements are a part of the Christian nationalist movement, which we'll talk about in hopefully the final episode. I don't know. In that group, the vast majority are white evangelical Protestants, and two-thirds of that is Republican and independents who are right-leaning. Now, we got this from a study from the Pew that uses open-ended questions that ask about the U.S. and whether it is or should be a Christian nation. So instead of saying nationalism, it says, should the U.S. be a Christian nation and how that works? And the responses varied on what Christian nationalism was and what specific level of Christianity they think should be enforced. So some would say along the lines of, trusting in God on the money. That's great. Doing the Bible thing, which still kind of like, huh, okay. You know, would I say the Bible, going on stand, pledging on the Bible, whatever,
right,
or being sworn in?
Mm-hmm.
But others would be more specific, and here's a quote, a nation that honors God and Jesus Christ and doesn't make laws that fly in the face of what God has said and certainly doesn't persecute Christians for following what they believe the Bible tells them about issues such as homosexuality and abortion being sinful.
But within that same study, it does show that most people have now associated the idea of Christian principles with conservative groups, and specifically to the MAGA crowds. Here's a quote from the study. It should mean they follow the teachings of Christ. However, now it can mean extremist, money-loaded, white nationalist, pushing their agenda. Another claims it should mean that the nation is guided by the teachings of Christ, but most Christian politicians wish to exploit religion in a manner Christ would not approve. Several respondents suggest that its meaning recently changed. I used to think it was a positive view, but now with the MAGA crowd, I view it as racist, homophobic, anti-woman. And another quote, similarly, some respondents see the idea of a Christian nation as a political tool. As one respondent says, to me, it means pandering to a subset of our population to get money and votes. Other descriptions in this category include ruled by religious propaganda, pretending to be Christian, but yet not being Christian in order to gain politically, being used for political purposes, and a bunch of hypocrites who use God as a shield to do, say, wacky, zany things, and everyone's supposed to brush it off.
Right.
Yeah.
So I found that whole thing interesting because when I was originally looking at it, and by the way, this study is from 2022, talking about what does this look like for the U.S., who are we talking about, and for the longest time, you know, God bless America. That is a common phrase. And then we have a Pledge of Allegiance, which also has that. And then we have the National Anthem, which, you know, all of that. It's swiftly turned in the last year and a half, not honestly last 6 years, but really, really coming to this point. And with that conversation, we were talking about groups. I went specifically looking for Southern Baptist Convention because we know they are a big part of the money when it comes to politicians. And instead of finding articles about what they do, I found a lot more articles having people trying to discourage Southern Baptist Convention members to becoming Christian nationalists. So there's this kind of balance of trying to figure out where they are, but the truth of the matter is, it's not completely working. And I'm not going to say that it's Southern Baptist Conventions because obviously there's other denominations. My church was not part of the Southern Baptist Convention, but a completely different denomination, independent, I believe. And they are way more extreme to me than anyone else. I think it has everything to do with being uneducated and have everything to do with the fact that they are all lower class socioeconomically. So that, you know, that's an easy target for these crews. We know this. So, but doesn't mean they don't exist because, again, Southern Baptist Convention has a lot of money. And when we talk about homosexuality, they are crew number one in this fight. As in fact, we know that they just recently chastised groups of people that have women ministers, like recently being a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
So they expelled one of their biggest churches in California because they were disappointed that there was one woman pastor.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yep.
We'll come back to that. That's probably like way down the road of like, let's have an update about why everything is awful. But outside of that, we're going to talk about other specific groups. And one of them is Moms for Liberty. Now, we should mention all of these groups all are multitaskers, though we are specifically looking at the attacks against the LGBTQ community. Many of them have been at the forefront in book bans, against the anti-racist teachings and so much more. And Moms for Liberty, who's just been recently named a hate group by the SPLC, I think others, I think the Human Rights Campaign has too. The group has been a force ever since their anti-mask campaign during the pandemic, which is when they were formed, out of Florida, by the way, y'all. Florida, we love you. We're here for you if you need us. Here's a quote from the recent NPR article. Moms of Liberty, founded in early 2021 by conservative women in Florida, has quickly expanded its presence across the country. It has landed national media attention for its efforts, sometimes successfully, to fight COVID safety measures in schools, ban books, limit discussion about race and LGBTQ identities, and populate local school boards with conservatives. Two of its founders, Tina Deskovich and Tiffany Justice, provided NPR with a written statement in lieu of an interview to respond to the SPLC designation. Here's the quote. Two-thirds of Americans think the public education system is on the wrong track today. This is why our organization is devoted to empowering parents to be a part of their child's public school education. Of course, we know that is actually not a correct number. Or if it is a correct number, it's not what they're implying.
Exactly.
As in fact, part of the people would be complaining that because of the things like this that Moms of Liberty are doing is part of the problem of their education system.
Yes. And we did talk about them in our book banning episode. And we also talked about them in our recent queer update episode because they are part of Ron DeSantis has had conferences with them. They tried to, it's still ongoing, this battle with Disney, but they tried to get them involved in that. They're something we should be worried about. And this group is heavily influenced and has strong links to the Proud Boys, many being partners or wives of them. Also, I'm sure you all know, a very problematic group. Terrible group. Problematic is too, it's worse than that. Three Percenters, QAnon, and many Christian national groups they're also connected to. They have been busy all over the country leading anti-gay protests and rallies titled Protect the Children, which is a familiar refrain we've heard in this conversation. And here's one example of their work, which, warning, it does contain some ableist language. The Florida chapter advocated for separating LGBT students into specialized classes, quote, like, for example, children with autism, Down syndrome.
Right. So we know this is this is going right back to that track of racist ideals when they would segregate. And that's a big conversation that we're having in here, that there's a lot of segregation conversations here, especially when it comes to the queer community, as well as still the Black community.
Yeah.
Okay. Very disappointing in all of the ways. We also, and going back to the ableist language, obviously the whole conversation is this is not how we need to do it. There should not be specialized classes like this. That's not a thing. And that's a whole different tangent that I should be on, that what we need is more assistance and being able to acclimate and serve them instead of just pushing them aside, which is irritating and angersome in so many ways. Then we have the Alliance Defending Freedom. Here is an explainer from the SPLC. Founded by some 30 leaders of the Christian right, the Alliance Defending Freedom is a legal advocacy and training group that has supported the recriminalization of sexual acts between consenting LGBTQ adults in the U.S. and criminalization abroad, has defended state-sanctioned sterilization of trans people abroad, has contended that LGBTQ people are more likely to engage in pedophilia, and claims that a, quote, homosexual agenda will destroy Christianity and society. ADF also works to develop, quote, religious liberty legislation, case law that will allow the denial of goods and services to LGBTQ people on the basis of religion. Since the election of President Trump, ADF has become one of the most influential groups in forming the administration's attacks on LGBTQ rights.
And their specific agenda includes coming after the trans community, which we've been talking about a lot lately because we've been seeing it a lot lately. With a large amount of donations, receiving at least $55 million in 2018 and over 3,400 affiliated lawyers and judges worldwide. They have made progress in their agenda, unfortunately. And more from the SPLC on the ADF, quote, the founding board and original funders included James Dobson of Focus on the Family, Bill Bright of the Campus Crusade for Christ, D. James Kennedy of Coral Ridge Ministries, now D. James Kennedy Ministries, and Don Wildman, founder of the American Family Association. Its original purpose was to oppose the ACLU and other radical groups, as well as to fight for religious liberty. Since its founding, ADF has expanded its operations abroad as it battles abortion, LGBTQ equality, and what it considers the myth of the separation of church and state. Originally called the Alliance Defense Fund, the name changed in 2012, ADF has been funding cases and training attorneys since its inception, claiming that it is also, quote, advocating for freedom in court, though it also says is working to change the culture, because it says legal victories aren't enough. In other words, ADF is attempting to eradicate the separation of church and state and graft its version of conservative Christianity onto the legal profession and the culture at large through its legal strategies, the training of thousands of attorneys, and its advocacy of policy changes at the state and federal levels.
Right. And if this sounds scary, it is, because it's working.
It is.
And we just saw what happened in the Supreme Court with an imaginary discrimination case, religious freedom case. Literally didn't happen. But she was trying to prevent it beforehand. So this is bad. Also, I believe this is the same organization that helped with the cake. If you remember the cake incident where the gay couple was denied service. Yeah, that they were the ones that came in for that. So their tactics are specific and precise. Here's some more from the SPLC. ADF has several initiatives that help train conservative Christians. These include a variety of programs designed for young lawyers, including the Young Lawyers Academy, which schools new U.S. attorneys and provides opportunities to, quote, engage the culture and join a network of Christian attorneys around the globe. And the Arete Academy, which launches highly accomplished university students and recent graduates on a path to future leadership in law, government, business, and public policy. ADF Academy is a training program that purports to equip participants to, quote, effectively advocate for religious liberty, the sanctity of life, and marriage and family. ADF claims more than 1,800 lawyers have participated. The organization also offers the secretive Blackstone Legal Fellowship, through which Christian law students study under prominent scholars, participate in internships, and prepare for life and leadership in the legal profession. Since 2000, the year of Blackstone's inception, ADF claims it has trained more than 1,600 law students from 225 law schools in 21 different countries. That is scary. I don't like.
No, it is very scary. And I think that it's, you know, as you said, this is a minority, but they've been effective. They've been effective at really getting people like law students, at really spreading this message, at being very vocal, at taking like a lot of space and making it seem like they are not the minority. And doing it in other countries, like, that's awful.
Right.
That is
colonization.
don't put our in other
This is colonization. Like, this is modern colonization. Yeah. What the hell? And even grosser.
Yeah.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On-demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So with these specific initiatives, they have also written out specific agendas to go after the, quote, homosexual agenda. A book written by an ADF leader titled The Homosexual Agenda, Exposing the Principal Threat to Religious Freedom Today, specifically addresses the, again, quote, homosexual agenda, which, by the way, the SPLC explains as a nefarious scheme to destroy Christianity and eventually civilization through LGBTQ people's efforts to secure equality under the law. To those who believe in this conspiracy theory, the LGBTQ are not really seeking equality. Rather, they are actually seeking to destroy such things as Christianity, the family, and culture. And I would like to say, between this episode as well as the feminist episodes on Christianity, if that was a thing, I feel like we would win, right? Because there's a lot of us.
I know. It's one of those frustrating but kind of funny things where it's like, you're giving me a lot of power when all I want to do is like sit and read fan fiction and not really have sex with anybody.
And also to be able to have my own body and make sure I'm cared for and being paid right. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
And just be happy in my own family. Like, I don't. Whether it be you and your fan fiction as your family and me and my partner and my dog. Like, let me be.
Right.
But yet,
actively trying to destroy.
Well, now I am. I'm just playing. That's going to be taken out of context. Oh, like, wow. Now I've got a goal. Here we go.
Oh, no. And the book expands on the idea again from the SPLC site by supporting, quote, the pseudoscientific and dangerous practice of so-called ex-gay therapy to falsely claim that LGBTQ plus people are more likely to engage in pedophilia and to claim that schools are indoctrinating children into being LGBTQ. Lately, the authors breathlessly claim homosexual behavior on college campuses is taking a dangerous new turn. The promotion of sexual relations between adults and children, known as pedophilia. Which again, yes, we've heard that argument a lot. And of course, they add the idea that if civil union is allowed for same-sex marriages, that it would destroy the institution of marriage altogether.
Of course. Which is, again, one of those big moments that we haven't even addressed, the fact the majority of people who have been arrested for pedophilia and child molestation have been a part of these groups, or at least think along the lines of these groups. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
Thus far.
Mm-hmm.
Thus far.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit more in the abuse episode, but
I mean, with the rings and then the, like, I'm getting more and more stuff in my feed about actual police and police officers and having a ring. We know there's a case right now that is ongoing on a military site in which there was a 14-year-old indigenous girl taken and trafficked and no one was wanting to talk about it.
Right.
Convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have one of the more known groups focused on the family, who has famously continued to blame gays for any and all natural or unnatural incidents, including the Sandy Hook school shooting. And here are some quotes from the focus on the family. Quote, the tree of homosexuality bears bad fruits. Sodomitical acts have not only external consequences like death, disease, and childlessness, but internal ones. Some of the internal consequences are psychological, like loneliness and compulsive behavior. Others are moral, for we cannot violate the human design, yet expect things to go on as they are. That road leads down and down. Which, honestly, if I did not know this was about homosexuality, I would think about some suburban wives and thinking that's talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Oh, boy. And their views and anti-gay work spawned another religious group, the Family Research Council, pushing more of its anti-trans and anti-queer agenda, reminding the parents that the LGBTQ community is coming for their children and are damaged and, quote, disconnected from Jesus. A little bit about FRC from the SPLC. The Family Research Council, FRC, bills itself as the leading voice of the family in our nation's halls of power. But the group's real specialty is defaming LGBTQ people. FRC often makes false claims about the LGBTQ community based on discredited research and junk science. The intention is to dehumanize LGBTQ people as the organization battles against LGBTQ rights. In the past, this included stances against same-sex marriage, hate crime laws, anti-bullying programs, and the repeal of the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. FRC continues this work, but has also revived long-debunked pedophilia and grooming myths in its work against transgender rights, opposition to drag performances, and support for conversion therapy. The latter is in response to state-level and international bans on conversion therapy for minors. FRC has amplified and even co-opted some queer rhetoric and social science about the mutability of identity to imply LGBTQ people can and should change to become straight and cisgender, despite research showing such practices cause harm to LGBTQ children. Mm-hmm.
And it continues, to make the case that the LGBTQ community is a threat to American society, the FRC employs several policy experts who have allowed the FRC to be extremely active politically in shaping public debate. Its research fellows and leaders often testify before Congress and appear in the mainstream media. It also works at the grassroots level, conducting outreach to pastors to, quote, transform the culture in advancing the cause of religious freedom, which they understand as a freedom to discriminate against anyone they find morally inferior. FRC has also established itself as a network of churches, which limits public scrutiny of its political activity. Again, using churches and religion to continue their biases and discrimination. But that's not all. Focus on the Family themselves has been a heavy advocate for conversion therapy, not just their subset group, including their own center titled Love One Out, which ironically was sold to Exodus International, which shut down in 2013, and the former CEO came out as gay and even apologized for their role in their harmful practices. So I'm not going to lie, I hate that that happened, but it does feel like, yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. And I know I just saw a headline that this conversation about the queer community and church is playing out in a lot of denominations, as we said, but I just saw a headline, I think, about the Methodist Church, and was saying like they're losing so much of people who used to go to that church because of this issue. And I know we're going to talk about it in the part two of this
part
one.
Two.
But yeah, I mean, when I was in high school, because as you said, very important to emphasize, like this is not, it is attack on the queer community, but it's an attack on a lot of marginalized people. It's not just one group. You and I discussed this, but I remember hearing Hurricane Katrina was because of gay people.
Yep.
And that was just like a thing we were talking about as high schoolers.
Yeah.
But as you said, and you're totally correct, it's also blamed on Black people. So it is like those intersections that are so important that we have to talk about.
Yep. So many bad things, and they just want to spread all the hate except amongst themselves.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. It's supposed to be about love. Oh my gosh. Anyway. All right. Well, we will come back because there is a lot still to talk about and a lot going on right now that we need to discuss. But for now, that is the end of part one of this this mini series. I love it. we will be back.
It's not mini anymore, Annie.
We're going to get through this. In the meantime, listeners, if you have any thoughts on this, if you'd like to contact us, you can. Our email is stephanieamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram and TikTok @StuffMomNeverToldYou. We do have a Tee Public store if you want some merchandise. We have a book. You can pre-order it at stuffyoushouldreadbooks.com and on Audible. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Christina. I know this one was rough.
Sorry.
For a lot of reasons, scheduling and voice-wise. Also, thanks to our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Yes, thank you so much. And Joey, thank you for your contribution, because they did this a long time ago and we're still on it.
We're still working through it. Yes, thank you. And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production by iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.